pray. Heavenly Father, again, we're very privileged people and greatly thankful, Lord, for your kindness to us, indulging us, Lord, to the extent you've given us this freedom to come together to worship your name. And we thank you for it, Lord, at this time, not knowing when that freedom could be taken from us. We don't know, Lord, just what hour these things will come upon the earth, Lord, the closing down of churches and the forbidding of freedom. We know that it's been in the making for a long, long time, and one day that seed has got to bring forth its fruit fully manifested. But in the meantime, Lord, we thank you for grace and mercy, and also for future grace and mercy that will take us through, Lord. We appreciate your presence, your appearing amongst us, for the purpose which you ordained, Lord, from the beginning, for restoration, O God, and bringing the church back into order and all those things, Father, that you wanted. And we know that people have missed it. They haven't understood. And even amongst ourselves, Lord, there is such misunderstanding, looking for this and looking for that, when already advised by the prophet, always looking, but not examining and seeing that which is right before us, the present truth, the truth that is here. Help us, Lord, to not fall into error of such description, but rather, Lord, to walk in the light as you are in the light, with the blood cleansing us from all unrighteousness, and we having fellowship one with another, starting with you as one great, beautiful family, the household of Almighty God. Bless us this morning, therefore, Lord, as a spirit of love amongst us, bringing forth fruit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to bring a little message from the scripture on Alpha and Omega. And this is not going to be an explanation of the principle of Alpha and Omega, because we've dealt with that very thoroughly. But we're going to look at its use, that principle of the Alpha and Omega principle. Examine this in the light of the presence of Christ in 33 A.D., and then into the Ephesian church age and at this present time. So we go back for the Alpha to the time of Jesus Christ in the flesh, and then the time of the Ephesian age wherein he returned as a pillar of fire, specifically to the Apostle Paul, although he had already come to the church as a pillar of fire to baptize individuals. Now we're going to go to Matthew, the 24th chapter, to begin. And the first three verses says, "And when Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, which is the presence, your appearing, what will be the sign of your appearing, and the consummation of the ages." Now, the first thing we notice here in an Alpha principle is that Jesus went out and departed from the temple. That is, he categorically left the religious institution, the foundations, the entire principles of what was in that hour. And the church, of course, had already sought to put him out, and really they had repudiated him to the extent that he was out. And now he is outside of the church, and he's upon the Mount of Olives, and there he's teaching outside of any confirmation to of the old system. And you'll find that over here in the Omega situation of the book of Revelation, chapter 3. At the end time, you'll notice, Dr. Larkin brings this out, and Brother Branham concurs, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me." Now you'll see there that as Christ left the system in the beginning, because he's repudiated, it took then from that time on the individual to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that has never ever changed. Always it is an individual confrontation. Now, here it says, Christ in the midst of the church, that is, your church organized and your church unorganized, because they're all one composite at this particular point. And the church has put him out. And now then it's a matter of the individual hearing the voice and coming. In other words, at the end time, no more than did Israel come to Christ as a church, neither will the church come to Christ as a church. There is no way. And that is why Brother Branham said that this will never organize. There is no way it can, because everybody becomes an individual thinker, and you're progressing more and more to the place of where it says we should be priests and kings unto God. And so therefore, if that is an ultimate, and that would be what they call the desideratum, the great desire, that we come to that position, which over a course is in the millennium. You have got to be approaching that from this side more and more in order to have the perfect reflection on that side. And that doesn't get rid of a fivefold ministry. It doesn't get rid of the church concept. What it does, it has a confrontation of Christ in this hour with every single person as he had back there when they repudiated him because he said, I am outside of the door entirely. I am outside of any way to get back in because the door signifies to get in and get out. It's a port of entrance. And it says the good shepherd is that door. Now you notice that he's no longer a door. Although he never is anything but a door when you're coming into the truth. You understand that. But we're talking now in terms of the church. And the Omega principle that was set up in Alpheus, that he's absolutely outside of the church 100%, and he's now dealing with individuals. And of course we could go into the ramification of prophet at this point, but we're not going to do it. Just want you to see that we are in that particular period as it was in the beginning back there in the Gospels. And then it says, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, as I also retained and sat down with my Father in his throne. Now you notice way back there the question was posed. You go back to Matthew 24 again, and it says here, and the disciples came to him and said, when shall these things be? And what will be the sign of thy coming? And what will be the consummation of the ages? In other words, what is going to be when we are looking for you to take over your kingdom, which at this point you have not taken over your kingdom? Now remember, he said, I could take over the kingdom. My Father would send me 12 legions of angels, and I would just take over. And he said, my kingdom is from thence. In other words, it's way down the road. And they said, now, what is that going to be? Well, he set that in order as the Alpha, and now we're here down at the Omega, where the gospel of the kingdom is being preached, which means we're coming into the kingdom now. It's always been preached looking forward to, but we're not looking forward any longer because we're in the actual introduction or the ushering in of the very millennium itself. Now, number two of the Alpha principle that reflects itself in the Omega of this hour, in the same situation, that is the same time event, we're going to go to Luke, the 22nd chapter. And you'll notice in verses 52 and 3, and this is at the scene of the betrayal when Peter rises up to try to rescue Jesus, as it were, when Judas has betrayed him, and the mob has come to take him, to destroy him, that is, to crucify him. And the chief priest said, and Jesus said to the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders, which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. Now that's what Jesus Christ set forth, not his understanding so much, but that's true, the understanding, but his statements against them, his crystallization of the situation. I am not a thief, so why do you come up with swords and with staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Now you notice here that was an Omega situation. He is outside of the church. The church has repudiated him and literally denied him and literally entered into a position of blasphemy. Because in Matthew 12, they said, is not this the son of David? And is not this then the seed we're looking for? And the answer then is, no, this is not the seed of David. This is of Beelzebub. So therefore, it wasn't just a matter of attributing the works of Almighty God to Satan, but it was literally making Christ himself of Satan. Now let's face it, you understand that because Cain was of the evil one. So therefore, here is another one of the evil one. In other words, this would be the one that Cain is building up to. See? They didn't know that they were the ones that would bruise the heel. See, they didn't know that they were the Omega principle of the Alpha, which was Cain. You understand what I'm saying? All right, now you got this. You got this set forth here. Now then, we'll go to Hebrews 6. Now they took him to crucify him. Now he's outside of the church. Cast out entirely, repudiated. Now in here, in the sixth verse, in the second part of it, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, why was it that they couldn't receive him in this hour? The same reason they could not receive him in that hour, because he said, I was daily in your temple teaching. I was daily leading up to this, and you turned it down. Now, the church has been preaching for 2,000 years what this is all about, and they missed it a million miles. So what do they got to do? They've got to crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. That's exactly what happened. Now, let's go to the third Alpha and Omega, and that's also in Luke 22. (clears throat) 54 to 61. No, wrong book. And it says, then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Now remember, he's denying the Lord. He's saying, I don't know him. After a while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of an hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also did, for he is a Galilean. And tell by the way he talks and the way he dresses. See? Okay. Peter said, man, I know not what you're talking about. Immediately while he spake, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said before him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. All right. Over here, you'll notice the actual betrayal of the church nominal and the foolish virgin. The actual betrayal. Because it's epitomized here. On the reason I say it's epitomized, though Peter is one of the elect, I'm using him as an example for this reason. That he was the one who listened, and he noticed he is afar off. He's followed afar off. Even though he had revelation from Almighty God, he came into the place where he turned down the Lord Jesus Christ at that crucial moment, though he came back to him. So we're just using him as a sort of a type in here to let you know what is at the very end time. This one that was closely associated with Jesus. Many will come in that day and say, Lord, did I not cast out devils in your name? Did I not speak in tongues? Did I not prophesy? Did I not do miracles and wonderful works? And he'll say, I never knew you. Now that cannot be said about Peter, but you can see the relevancy of what I'm saying here. That this, at the end time, there are people who are not devoid of an understanding. They know only too well, but under fear, as Brother Branham said, they will not leave the organization. They're rich and increased in goods with too many pensions, and too much authority, and too much adulation, and too much everything. And they think they're somebody because the people made them somebody. The Pope is no more the vicar of the Lord Jesus Christ by a vote of 50 billion people than nothing. He's one of the barking hellhounds of the devil. And that's exactly true. And this one perhaps is the worst of the whole works you've ever seen since the time back when they had their sisters and mistresses and God knows what and filled their paper choirs with illegitimate offspring and heaven knows what. And took the sum of prostitution out of Paris and anything else. That's where the Catholic Church is. That's facing the Protestants are no better. Because of the same rotten, stinking seed. The Pentecostals bring me about the worst of them all because they've come in now with their gifts and the whole bunch and said we're all God. Brother Branham said the Pentecostals want them all and they got them all. Exactly right. Now, so therefore we see a type in here that the church repudiates. And those that know better and those that should have come in absolutely repudiate at the end time. Now let's go to Matthew 24 and 24 what we're talking about and you can see it here. It says here, and there shall arise false Christ and even false prophets and show great signs and wonders, insomuch, if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. So there you are. Also notice in 2 Peter. We get the picture over in 2 Peter. Second chapter. This is the scripture Brother Branham used, the anointed ones of the end time. But there were false prophets also among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in downward heresies, even denying, that saying no to the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. That's why he used Peter. He denied him. He said no. Literally said no to the Lord. You notice what Peter did to bring in this condition? He just did what Eve did. He contradicted the word of God. And when he contradicted the word of God, God said, I'll show you. Nobody can contradict my word. You will, in spite of yourself, deny me. Now, how many churches write today, preachers and congregations, are so dedicated? You've got whole, literally, a generic concept of your Mennonites, your Amish, your legalist Armenians. And that concept is the same principle that's in the churches, except where one bands together and wears hats and beards, the rest just let it go, but they're just as banded together. And notice what they do. They deny the very God that they're consecrated to. Just like Brother Brandon said, the prophets came and said, the very God that you say you worship and the God you listen to, that's the God that's here and going to destroy you. And so you see your concept falling right down to the very end. They deny it. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, like pernicious anemia. They've taken all the antibodies out of the blood. The blood that would cleanse doesn't have any antibodies anymore. You know why? Because they took away the word. See? And notice the very thing we've got today, and I've got the very thing in my body. My immune system is completely out of function. Why? Because something got in the bloodstream. And the immune system is there, could work perfectly, but what's in the blood just cuts it right off. That's why doctors said, oh, why, you've got the physique of a 50-year-old man. Why, you're just nervous. Go see a psychiatrist. Fat. So I saw the stupid psychiatrist. To a degree. What'd they do? Nothing. You can't talk to bugs in your system. Neither can you talk to God about the blood without the word. Because your immune system's gone. You can't talk about the blood when you deny the the power of the liver, the pancreas, the adrenals. And right down the line, you can't do it. See? So they talk about the schools. They're going to do that. Forget your schools. Bring Jesus Christ back. Bring prayer and a few more things. The whole thing's shot. See, the immune system's gone. What's wrong with the courts today? You got rotten judges, stupid policemen, politicians that aren't worth a dime a dozen. Sag you down the river. They've already done it. The antibodies are gone out of the blood. So they threw away the word. There's no life left in the blood to fight the life of the devil. Church is dead. She's not even hanging on the roof. She's down note. All right, that's number three. Number four, judgment was pronounced. Let's go back to Matthew 24. The second verse. Jesus said, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. He said, the whole system's gone. You can't put a new patch on an old garment. What you do, you destroy the garment. The Bible categorically says, no word of God is void of power. And secondly, it says also that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. It'll all be fulfilled. And the prophet came along and used a very vulgar term that everybody hates. It's full of wiggle worms. Oh, now, oh, please, Brother Ben. You couldn't be that prophet, you thought, because you said the word was full of wiggle worms. Dead man. Oh, okay, be nice. You're nicer than God. That's much nicer than God. Yell God, God. Yell prophet, the prophet. Of what word? The word. Out Jesus, Jesus. That's right, you're out of everything. You don't even know it. He run plumb out. That's what he said. He said it's become corrupted. It's full of wiggle tails. It's gone. Israel was gone. The church is gone. Israel held on, and God proved they were gone, and this church holds on, and God's going to prove that it's gone, because there's going to be ashes under our feet, not because I say so, not because I'm judgmental. The judgment has already passed. I am not judging. I am reporting. Amen. I'm not editorializing. Like your stupid press. I'm reporting. That's what the newspaper's all about, not some type of journalism. We don't have reporting anymore, not even the Christian Science Monitor. You got a bunch of lies, 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 lies. Somebody cooks up. And you look at the TV. Sour your stomach. Look at their pontificating self-righteous birds on there. Look at their faces. You can look at mine and see how I'm mad. I'm not making mad at all. I'm exactly what the prophet said. Somebody's got to tell him. And you take the gloves off when you do tell him. It'll you get to us. Don't worry. He said, not one stone left. The temple's going to go. It's sir. Built by his creeds and dogmas. Built by his misunderstanding. Originally built by Almighty God through the prophets. But now it's judged. People don't want to say the church is judged. David Duperson, Mr. Pentecost, rose up against Reverend Branham. Well, certainly against Brother Branham he rose up. And he said, that man that judged men, now he's judged himself. As one man said, smeared across the road. And I said, yes, God fed him to lions and made him dung upon the field. I'll still listen to William Branham. You go where you want to go. And if I go to hell, I'll go to hell. It's my privilege. My privilege. But I can see a parallel here. I can see the Alpha and I can see the Omega. Because that's exactly what it is. Now let's read the Omega. What happened is what's going to happen to us here. And this is a long chapter. And Jesus, beginning at verse 1. The most of my time might be spent reading scripture. And Jesus spake to the multitude and to his disciples. Notice there's a double crowd here. The disciples were amongst the multitude. They were part of it. But they weren't considered. Saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit at Moses' seat. Oh yeah, they got the Bible today. Don't worry. Your Pat Robinsons and your Jim Bakers and your Falwells, a whole bunch. Oh, they got the Bible. You bet they got the Bible. More Bibles than ever. Yeah. Yeah, I could say something here, but what's the use? And whatsoever they bid you observe, and that observe do, but do ye not after their works, for they say and do not. Just got a lot of talk and no life. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, and they themselves will not move with them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad the phylacteries and enlarge and borders their garments. That's their adornments, you know, they make them look righteous and let your collar turned on backward and little gewgaws and things like that. And love the uppermost rooms of the feast and the chief seats in the synagogue and in greetings in the market and love to be called rabbi, rabbi. That's master, master, see. Be ye not called a master, for one is your master, even Christ, and you're all brethren. Now, there's nobody can take the place of Jesus Christ. Only the Holy Ghost does that, and the men that are designated then become subtitled because God simply works through them. Until it gets to the last person, and he's a legate for Jesus Christ like everybody else is. Call a man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be called master, one your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Now, do you think that people like that's going to humble themselves? There's no way, because their whole system has taught them to be exalted. Denominational system has taught us to be exalted. We Baptists are the best of the works. And I must admit, my heart inclines a lot toward the Baptist. I must be honest with you. But I never was a Baptist all the way through. I was born a Presbyterian. I must admit, I've had the affection toward the Baptist. And I still do. But that doesn't mean they're right, because I like them. I went through Pentecost, too. And I guess I've got less use for them in one way than I have in another way. So you know how it is. But one, you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Notice, you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer them that are entering to go in. That's right, because the denominations shut you up where they are. See? Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you destroy, devour widows' houses, for a pretense make long prayers, and therefore you receive the greater damnation. Pentecostal men running around and asking the widows to sell their homes and give them the money. It's absolutely wrong. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass the land and sea to make one proselyte. When he is made, you make him a twofold more the child of hell than you yourselves. Woe to you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple is nothing. Whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fool and blind. For whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold. And then so on down. Let's go a little further. For 25. Won't you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites? Ye make clean the outside of the cup and the platter. And within are full of extortion excesses. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, and that outside of them may be clean also. In other words, it shows that the cleansing power of God was not in the church anymore. And it's not either. See, it's gone. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like whited sepulchres, which appear beautiful on the outside. Inside is full of dead men's bones and cleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. See, you don't go by the word. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And listen, how many books are in the market right today of the good old days, Madame Guyon? Who cares two bits about a woman in the picture of preaching? Amy Semmett Ferguson, check her life out. Reba Crawford, find out where she stands. Yeah. Maddie Crawford. I think there's another Crawford there, too. Started a system all over the world. A woman. Twofold child of hell, every single one of them.
You say, Brother Bailey, I am not judgmental. I'm reporting the facts, my brother, my sister, vindicator. You do what you want with them. People don't like reporting. No way, shape, and form. These Russians can't stand reporting either. They cover up everything. Now they got all Europe mad them. Very funny. A little bit of contaminated milk and grain. Now Europe's mad. But they couldn't get mad for what the Russians did and what we did for them. Oh, no. That's why the Russians and the Catholics are the same thing. The Protestants, the same thing. There's no difference. Birds of a feather. You'll see that this Pope is the one they picked to bring them all together. He's a Pole, and that stands right in between the West and the Russians, the free and the the ones that aren't free, and bringing in religion. And you show me where the communists are, where the Roman Catholics first weren't, or the Greek Orthodox. The map will prove it. Just make it purple, where the Catholics were, the two brands, and then make it red, where the commies are, and one fits over the other. A perfect superimposition. All right, fill you up now, I said here. Let's go to 32. Fill up the measure then of your fathers. You serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send to you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of you will kill and crucify, and some of you will scourge in your synagogues, and persecute city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of righteous of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom he slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I send you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how thou that killest the prophets and stone them that are sent to you, how oft would I gather thy children as the hen gathers her chicks under wings, but you would not. How is he going to do it? By the prophets and the men that God sent. People think right today that God's going to gather his people another way than what he always gathered them. And he took them by the prophets. He's got to gather them together for the rapture by prophet right today. And who's going to believe it? There's another Alpha and there's an Omega. Who's going to do it? They're not going to take it, see. For I send you, that you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's exactly right. All right. Now, that's the church worldly, the church nominal. And it's all mixed up with the virgin wise and the virgin foolish. Now, let's go back to the virgin wise and foolish in Matthew 25 and notice there. Then shall the kingdom be likened unto 10 virgins which took the lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 were wise and 5 foolish. Now, these are not the same as those over yonder that he's talking about in Matthew 23. They're all mixed up in that lump. But as he talked to the multitude, and Peter stood there and got a full dose of the judgment of God, though it did not pertain to him, but would have, had he not been in the election. Now over here, 5 wise, 5 foolish. And they were foolish, took their lamps and took no oil with them. No Holy Ghost seed. While the bridegroom slumbered, while the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept. At midnight there was a cry made, behold the bridegroom. Doesn't say come, but that's not in the Greek. Behold the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Doesn't say go ye out. It says come out. The voice is on the outside. Christ is on the outside of the church. The Holy Spirit's on the outside. All the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. Lamp trimming time. See, the end time. The foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil. Our lamps are gone out. The wise said, no. Lest there not be enough for you and us and you. Go yourselves rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now that's the exact time we're living in. Christ's presence, his appearing, and the prophet on the scene. Now, they're all anxious for the Holy Ghost because this prophet is the one that sets the healing revival that has lasted from 1946 until now, that started way back in the appearing in 1933 on June the 11th. Say, all right. Now, they went to get the oil. They couldn't get it. You know why? Because they went to the organization. What organization? Pentecostal. And all they got was gifts. That's why I keep trying to tell you people to understand. The baptism with the Holy Ghost is not the baptizer. The token, the Lord Jesus Christ, that appears at evening time, is not your baptism. He is your baptizer. Which you've already got a little bit of his spirit, or you couldn't see him. See? Now you got the same thing with gifts. To have a gift of the Holy Ghost is not to have the Holy Ghost. It's a gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, how many people has President Reagan, given gifts to? Well, let's say he gave his gift to 20 notable women in America. Ask his wife if the president gave himself to those 20 women, and she'd shoot you right between the eyes. And yet people so-called are supposed to be smart in the church can't even understand split peas from buttermilk, as Jack Bell would say. If you had the token, the least you could be is a prophet like William Branham. So how are you going to... See, where's understanding? Now, they went to buy, the bridegroom came, they were ready with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward, the virgins came saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he answered and said, "I used to know he's my wife, but I don't know he's my wife anymore. Watch therefore, if you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Nobody knew the day and the hour when the pillar of fire descended on June 11, 1933, which heralded the coming of the Son of Man, the appearing. Because Brother Branham said he appeared on the river down there. I was not the one that appeared. I was only standing there when he appeared. How many are going to believe that? Do what you want. I don't care. If Brother Branham was a fraud, at least he was smart enough to identify with the scripture that says, "I gather my people by the prophets and those that I send." If you get a bunch of five-fold ministers, especially the evangelists, the flaming evangelists who loves the praises of men, you know, the nice verbose guy that stands up and does the, you know, all this stuff that casteth his net with the wrong word, bringeth in the wrong seed, feedeth the goats, thinketh he get lambs. Stand up there with all your intelligence, so-called, glamorize everything else. He didn't know the first thing about the hour of the Son of Man. There's nobody can preach it. I'm going to tell you something. William Branham could not preach it. All he could know, something was coming. John the Baptist could not preach it. All he knew, something was there. Suddenly it was there. And how are you going to know the day and the hour? Even when it's manifested, they don't know. So there you are. There's your church nominal. The seed is the serpent. There's your foolish virgin. There's your alpha. Today you got the omega. No difference whatsoever. It's all one and the same. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter now, and see it. I already quoted some of it to you. But that's not the same. Look at 2 and 1. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him." See? How's he do it? Brother Brown said, by a message. Who's going to bring it? He himself. How does he operate? Through a prophet. All right, let's keep reading. "That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day is at hand." And now notice he said, "in your mind," which is repentance. He said, look, he said, don't get set for a change, because the change of thinking is not yet. There's got to go through a process where the word of God is so thoroughly deteriorated that it's completely out of its proper context. It's no longer the word of God. And Christ himself, the one they claim to adore, is gone. The immune system is entirely shot. The blood's not all efficacious. They talk about it. But the antibodies are gone. Men love darkness more than light. They won't take the truth. So he's outside the door. That's going to take a complete change of mind, because they got to get out. And if they're going to get out, they got to see something that the rest do not see. Okay, here it is right here. "By word, by mind, by spirit, by word, by letter, as much as that day of the Lord is at hand." Not day of Christ, the day of the Lord. "Let no man deceive any means. For that day cannot come except there come a falling away first, and then the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now it tells you right there, it cannot come until there be a divorce. Brother Branham preached judgment. Christ does not recognize, God cannot recognize, nothing from heaven will recognize what is on the earth today except a bride. Why? Because they're the only ones sealed in. Who are they sealed in with? And by God himself. Because remember, when love comes down, that's God. The God as love is not the love of God. They're two different things entirely. The God of love can place himself, a modicum, into your heart, and thereby that love can be shed abroad. But when you talk about God as love in 1 Peter, the 8th, crowning it all off, you are not talking about yourself again. You're talking of a modicum, a little tiny portion. Or the least you'd be as a great prophet like William Branham. Paul the Apostle. An Isaiah. A Moses. You can't qualify. Nobody can qualify. It's enough to be germatized, as the prophet said. And germatization speaks of a development, whereas the other speaks of the whole. There's no development. It's all over. Tell me when God developed. When did God have a beginning? His only beginning was to form himself in human flesh. That really boils down to having creatures he could dwell in. So we mustn't become too elaborate on that. The divorce is on. Revelation chapter 18. See what he says there about the church situation. Verse 4, I heard another voice in heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God the remembrer iniquities, reward her even as she's rewarded you. Double unto her, double according to her mistakes. To double-double is at least four times. Two to the second power makes four. Two times two. Take it one more time. You get up to an eight. Up to now you get 16. So you can see there's a dynamic escalating effect. What's going to be? In other words, every time God would do something through prophet in my books, judgment strikes that much harder. That much more responsibility. That much more to answer for. That much more to pay for. Because it is required much who knows much. And they that knew much received few stripes, many stripes. Those that had little knowledge would receive far less. That doesn't mean you hide your head in the sand and think you get by with it. When light shines, you're responsible for the whole thing. Not a perfect understanding, but for the whole thing. In the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she glorified herself and lived deliciously. We're rich, increased in goods, and have need of nothing. And don't know you're rich and miserable, poor and blind. In other words, she's a widow. A divorced woman of the lowest degree. Completely disinherited. Heard of one of the men that's supposed to believe this message kicked his wife out and he's worth a lot of money. Didn't even give her anything. Maybe she'll take him to court. I guess just stand back and cheer her on that one. Sounds like somebody doesn't qualify here, trying to qualify like God or something. You better be careful what measure you meet to be measured to you again in judgment. By man's word, he's justified. Man's word, he's condemned. Better make sure it's the word of Almighty God. As I say, judicious reporting is a whole lot different than judging. Yeah. If you're going to judge, you judge yourself. Number 5. Take special note here of all the Alpha and Omega in John 5 and 19. Let's take a look at John 5. What Brother Branham went to this continuously. We do too, of course, just like he did. It's our job and your job. Verse 19, Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatsoever things he doeth, these also do the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, shows him all things that he do, himself doeth, and he will show him greater things than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickens him, even so the Son quickens whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but submitted all judgment unto the Son. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son, honors not the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that hears my word and reason in his sending, hath everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed in death and life. Verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming now, is, and that it should hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so is he given Son to have life in himself, and a given authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave should hear his voice. Whose voice? Son of Man. Literally, Son of God. It's all the same person, really. But it's under the Son of Man ministry. That's it. The Son of Man merely signifies the ministry, that's all. Because he's not here in the flesh. And some shall come forth, they that done good in the resurrection life, and they that done evil in the resurrection and damnation. See, it's the same. Like Brother Branham said, that judge is here now, down to 1,000 years later. Christ does the same thing. And people get confused. No need for confusion. All right. Notice what we're saying here then. The Son of Man. All right, let's compare this with Luke 17. Now we're talking about the Son of Man, so we just talk about the Son of Man in that day of the Gospels. The 17th chapter, therefore, and 20 to 37, and when he demanded the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, the kingdom of God comes without observation. In other words, it'll be right here and you won't even know it. There you are. The same thing he says about the coming of the Son. You won't know the day and the hour. Then if you don't know the day and the hour, it could come and you miss it. That's exactly what this hour is all about, the seventh seal. You can't tell people outside of people like this what I'm preaching this morning, writing this message. You can't tell them this. And the preachers that do know won't sit down and explain it with their people. I can name you names right now who understand and know the presence of God, have taught it, and it sits right there in the church, won't do a thing about it. Won't even say, ask me questions. I don't like that. I'm going to clear my skirts. If I have something for you that I'm responsible for, I'm going to give it to you. You do what you want with it, but I'm cleaning my skirts. And they're clean from around the world where the tapes go, any place else, and who cares where they go and don't go. If I know I got an answer for it. But I'm clearing my skirts. Preachers don't like me clearing my skirts because they want me back in Pentecost. You keep your Pentecost. I never believed in Pentecost. The day I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I knew something was wrong and wrong with me. Not with God. I said, Lord, I thank you for this experience. I can't understand. It's so wonderful. This is real. This is it. But what is wrong?
Amen.
A million miles off the word. The church would lead everybody right into degradation, right to the pit. Right to the arms of the Antichrist, boasting in God and the Holy Ghost and not having a modicum, having a gift. Oh, brother, sister. You're as bad as people. One man came to me one time at a meeting in Florida. Brother Branham was there, and he said, you know, Brother Branham, I used to work with Brother Branham. I said, great. What's your name? He told me his name. I checked all through the records. I couldn't find anybody's name like that. And one guy finally said, oh, Brother Vail, listen, that guy's pulling your leg. He merely ushered one of Brother Branham's meetings. We've got a lot of ushers in there. Around Jesus Christ. Not even ushers. Won't even know it. Neither shall they say, lo here and lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. It's got to be within you, first of all, to even recognize what's among you. Because Brother Branham said, you had to have within you to know who is amongst you. And I'm paraphrasing, because he said, when that spirit that's in the midst of us is made incarnate to us, we'll crown him King of Kings. And you wouldn't know unless you had a modicum of him that's in your midst. You have to have representation there and now in here to make it. See? And he said to the disciples, the days will come when you should desire to see one of the days the Son of Man shall not see. Now here's a big riddle right here. But watch the chronology. And they shall say, see here, see there, don't go after them. Now he's talking about this. That presence. See the appearing. For as lightning the light is out of one part and the heaven shines the other part of the heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. The light travels east to west. We saw that last night also. But first he must suffer many things and reject his generation. Now it tells you this cannot happen until first of all he's dead and rises again. And if it's at the end time, then it's in our hour. And notice what he said the Son of Man days are. He gets the chronology set up for us. As it was in the days of Noah, the days of the Son of Man. Hate, drank, married, and so on into the ark and destroyed the flood, destroyed them all. Likewise the day of Lot. And there's where Brother Branham put Hebrews 13 and 8. They ate, they bought, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planned to build it. The same day Lot went out of Sodom and rained fire and brimstone in heaven and destroyed them all. That's the type. Thus it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, everybody wants to take that as one little day. That's not it. The days are going to repeat. And there'll be a period of time. And that time will be in the time of a Noah and a Sodom. And that generation shall not pass away, so nobody get your hopes up that this generation is going to improve. The Sodomites are right. That the third sex is going to take over all the other sexes. And if they don't take it over physically, in the application of the sex act, they'll take it over to AIDS. Now there's your blood system shot again. There's been an adultery carried on for years by the church. First of all, they developed a little bit of gonorrhea, and that wasn't too bad. They could knock it out. Then they got some syphilis. That was a whole lot worse. Then they got the herpes, and they found they could live with all of those three, so they said, go chew it, boys. So the church went hog wild. And it's adulteries. Now they got AIDS. You can't fool with that. That's it. Over the doctors will tell you different. We're working on something to immunize it. They are not going to immunize it. Only blood can immunize sin. And sin has lost its antibodies. They threw out the life. It's gone back to a chemistry. Has been for years. We're the only one that's got the blood applied. Now you can understand why the blood's applied in the evening time, because the first issue. If I open my mouth long enough, he'll fill it. And he did. I wondered myself about that statement a long time. You believe the prophet, you can't make a mistake. There's no way. The whole thing's good enough. You say, Brother Bailey, make mistakes. Go ahead. As far as you're concerned, as far as I'm concerned, I don't. Everything I preach by the word of God, check up what the prophet said. See where it goes. My skirts are cleared. My light may not be clear, except through the blood of Jesus Christ, the light that I'm trusting in. I never pretend anything up here, never have, never will. What you see is what you get, and a whole lot worse. I'm on my best behavior at this point. But I've never led you astray. And not one can look me in the eye and say, they used up here and told us a lie. If I make an error here, it's something I can't help with myself. But this word is right, brother, sister. It said that same day Lot went out of Sodom, rain, fire, and brimstone in heaven. That's the day they're getting mixed up with the day of with the day of the Lord. They're getting mixed up with the day of the Son of Man. The day of the Lord's also appeared. A time climaxed in this. But the Son of Man day is climaxed in the Alpha Omega principle of separating truth from error and a bride from an unbride. That's right. Matthew 24, Luke 17, the two separations, one taken, one left. Matthew 24 separates people word by word, and this over here separates at the end time. Takes you out of the world. The divorce has gone on. See, in that day, he's on the house up and so on. Two men grinding. One taking one or two men, two in the bed. Doesn't say necessarily who they are. Could be a man or woman. They just go and fill in the way they want. That night there'll be two men in the bed. Doesn't say this. There'll be two in the bed. One taking, one left. Two grinding, one taking, one left. Two in the field, one taking, one left. Why? How? Where the carcass is. Where the food is. That's soma right there. Where the health-giving substance is. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word. But the rest is mildew. Yeah. Brother Brand said, you got wiggletails. I'm going to tell you one thing. Wiggletails got in the manna. But we don't have manna today per se. We got a bread. Has been baked and all. We don't get wiggletails. We get yeast. And the fungus yeast, which is proliferated around the world, where millions and millions, the same thing I got. By the grace of God, it won't happen. Something's going to happen. Either it'll get me or I'll get it, one of the two. Doesn't matter. You got to get out of here somehow. Another type of what's going on today, yeast. You eat the bread of the denomination, it'll kill you. Why? Because they've taken the antibodies out and they've thrown the poison in now. Now you got a virus that's in there, a fungus. And it keeps, like the bride is transforming. This thing in you transforms and it splits. It can become AIDS or cancer or lupus or something else. Now they track it down to Crohn's disease and everything else. What did it? Shocked the immune system. Took the antibodies out of the blood. No life because there's no word. God's not in his church. God's in his word. The prophet said, so people got these ideas that are so crackpot, it's pitiful. Where, Lord? He said, where the carcass is, there's the body going to be gathered. What's the truth? How does he gather the body? By the prophet. What does he come with? He comes with the word. See, there's your Alpha and there's your Omega. Okay, now we could go on and on. But the thrust of this message is to quicken you to the truth that under Brother Branham, we are to come back to the Gospels, which I've been reading out of. Exactly because the days of the Son of Man are in the Gospels revealed. They don't appear other places in Scripture. It's right in here where it is. Taken from Old Testament, which we haven't gone into. Well, we could go into it. Because that's under restoration. That goes back to Joel. That goes back to Hosea. That goes back to Acts 3 and so on, bringing up the date. We can trace it through Scripture. Don't doubt for 1 minute. But it's actually in Matthew 4 and Matthew 12. And we won't read Matthew 4, but read Matthew 12. We'll see what it says there. Now, I don't have to read it. I've read it so many times to you already. Verse 15, and Jesus knew it. He withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled by Isaiah the prophet, saying. Now, listen. It says at that time he might not be made known, and then down here he's going to be made known then, because it was at that time. See? He was a prophet. Where did Jesus say, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, like Moses? He didn't do, but he proved that he had the authority to do so, by discerning and all. But who came on the scene in this hour? He himself and the pillar fire, who with the prophet said, and thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, is right here in Matthew 12. Behold, my servant, and I have chosen my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, put my spirit upon him, he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He'll show a vindication, he'll show a choice, he'll show a division, he'll show who's who and what's what. Now notice, he shall not strive nor cry, neither any man hear his voice in the streets. If that's Jesus Christ in the flesh, I'll eat this Bible right now. He did every one of those things in Jerusalem. Every one of those things, and loved doing it. He was in his glory, in his Father's glory. He whipped the tar of a bunch of Pharisees. What did you do today? Or did you do one thing? You can't put your finger on one thing. A bruised reed he shall not break. No, he broke it back there. Show me where he said one thing to Israel. But I'm going to get you out of the way. You're going to be responsible for the blood of all these right to this day. And in my time, I'll have a little remnant. But they come in by the blood. Because they're blinded by God. But they can't come in through the blood of an ox. But they came the best they could how? By the word. See, God always stands by his word. You talk about blood, I'm going to talk about word. Because you can't talk about one without the other. Then you got to place them right. Oh yeah, put all the crucifixes you want around your neck or any place else. You better have that life. He wants to have bruised reed, he shall not break. Smoking flax, he shall not quench. That means it's going to go on. Do you realize that he snuffed them out? They can't have a temple worship or anything that's legitimate there in Israel because they haven't found the ass of the red heifer. They've been cut off. He didn't cut off of us, the bride. The oil and the wine he wouldn't let go. He took them out of the church, that little life, and took it in his presence to glorify before God. We're going to have a bride immortal, brother, sister. The Shekinah himself is here. People can say what they want. That's a picture of Shekinah right there. Say what they want. You say, well, you're stupid. Thank God I'm stupid. I love her. I just wish my stupidity would increase. I have a hard job with my intelligence. It's too smart. Oh, that my stupidity might increase. Like the Apostle Paul, recognize I'm a dunghead, and that's the end of it. See? You need your mouth filled with what comes out of your heart, where the Spirit of God is. Not the mouth filled with dung, which comes out of the head. Now, you get the heart lined up with God, the soul, and the Spirit goes up there and teaches the mind, then you got it all in order. You got this, and this, and this, and this in order, and I'm pointing to the Bible, and to the mouth, and to the mind, and to the heart. You're a man of God right there, kid. Don't ever think you're not. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. They couldn't see him. But then that name, Jesus' name. They said, your brother man say in Jesus' name, thus saith the Lord. That's it. That's it. That took it. They took a name. See, didn't go to the flesh. They took the name. All right, now notice. From the Gospels and the Holy Ghost came Paul in the Ephesian age. True. We are now in this Omega. Because you got to go back to Ephesus, brother man said. God and his prophet, bringing the word correctly, vindicated. As Brother Branham said, how wonderful just to think the same pillar of fire that brought the word of God is here, revealing the word of God. And the tape to me, he said, Lees, he said, we haven't had a prophet like Moses for 3,000 years up until now. we haven't had a prophet like Moses, like the Apostle Paul, for 2,000 years until now where God spoke face to face. That's pretty well the words anyway. In other words, Brother Branham was claiming the same privilege of the Apostle Paul and Moses where he spoke face to face with Almighty God, revealing the word for this hour. And who can deny him and the force of what he had? Now, you could say, well, William Branham, you haven't got it. Well, he said, let me show what you got. See? Won't work. All right. What errors did that church age make? Now, remember, we're looking at errors. The Ephesian church age, not the Ephesian church, had within it a wrong discerning of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we saw that last night. We read it every single time pretty well. We have communion in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. And here we are. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh damnation, judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And the first major discernment was knowing what servant God sent to the church for illumination. Not to save anybody. Not to give him another way or anything. But he came by a word because the word of the Lord comes by a prophet. And so therefore there's nobody eligible for the cup of the Lord in this hour unless, first of all, he has come under the prophet. Because there's no use talking about this as the emblem of the shed blood because you can apply all the blood that you want. There's no life in what you've got. There's no blood. There's no life in that blood anymore. Why? Because the Holy Ghost hasn't come to it. Now, the bride is the blood of God because the life is in her. See? Carries the seed. Produces the life. Right down there. And so he puts it so that church was out of order. Absolutely out of order. Let's find out. 1 Corinthians The first chapter, 10 to 13, they were already organized. Or 11. No, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you speak the same thing. There be no divisions among you. That you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. In other words, the true church of God will have one mind with the Word. That's true. You know that as well as I do. Even Billy Graham, confronted by Brother Ned Iverson, admitted that the church had not had the Word restored. You think Billy's going to preach it? Ha! Do what you want. I don't mind saying the truth. Billy Graham's not getting seed unto God. And William Branham didn't either. The best William Branham produced, if he produced 3 million, a 3/4 million people for the Pentecost assemblies, the best they could be would be foolish virgins. They couldn't be bribed. Not according to his own definition. So what was he? A master fisherman with a great big net. Well, you throw away some and keep some. And the great master fisherman, not making him Jesus Christ, but a great one under Jesus Christ, said, I went across America and I did the whole thing, the thing is saned out. He said, maybe 50 souls came to the altar, but how many got saved? I don't know. Maybe none. Who knows? All right, listen. For it be declared unto me and my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am a Paul, I am a Paulus, I am a Cephas, I am a Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Are you baptized in the name of Paul? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe for 1 minute that they went around and saying, well, I am of Cephas, and I am of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and fully on Christ. No, they said, I like Paul's brand of Christ. I like Cephas' brand of Christ. I like Apollos' brand. In other words, they took the word that those people taught, and they molded that word to their own satisfaction, and they said, see, I'm following this, I'm following that, and therefore I'm following Christ better than you. Well, how can anybody stand up against this and say they're following better than that one? I'd like something evidential. And I'm not boasting as though I've got that. I'm just talking in terms, look, at least we have something that we're resting on that is concrete. It's not the machinations of somebody's imagination. No way, shape, and form. All right. Notice, the church was wrong in the discerning of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. How wrong is the church today when it cannot see Christ standing outside and manifesting himself to the virgins within, true and false, and unwise, and the false church. How in the world can they not recognize that to be God? But men who claim to have full, be full of the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. I knew one preacher said that Brother Branham had a spirit he called the spirit of discernment. He called it a familiar spirit or something like that. He said Brother Branham had a devil. Where'd they put him? Well, they put his daughters in his shorts and slacks and what God knows what in divorce courts and everything else. Now, the church was put in order by the Apostle Paul. And how'd you do it? In 1 Corinthians 14 to 35 to 36, he took them to the revealed word, which he was responsible for receiving for them and nobody else. He received a revelation. And in there he categorically stated to the people, he said, what came the word of God out for you, came it unto you only. If any man think this ought to be a proper spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write are the commandments of the Lord. So he put the church in order. Now, brother, sister, let's understand this. The church as Alpha was put in order, the church as Omega must be put in order too. Over in Acts, the 3rd chapter, which I mentioned to you, bring it to your attention now. It says in the 19th verse, the middle part, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And that's anything that's really visible, proving. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed unto you, because he's supposed to come, whom the heavens must receive, until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, it's telling you right here, before Christ can come bodily for us, and we meet him in the air, there has to be something from the presence of God come to us that we know is God himself dealing with us, and we also then will be restored. And it's only after that. This is Joel. This is Amos. This is Hosea. This is your whole Old Testament. Zechariah. You name it. This is Malachi. Right on down the line. This is that word spoken of. The church will be restored. It's going to be restored to order. And that, brother, sister, is exactly what it says in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. This is what I preached on under strictly inspiration, not knowing where it was coming from or where I was going, but knowing that God had given me something to strike my soul, and I've never gotten away from it. Because it distinctly says here, in the 22nd verse, a third, every man in his own order, at Christ but every man his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his presence. That's a literal presence. Then shall come the end. Remember, Christ is that Logos we're talking about. Then shall come the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. See, there's got to be a reigning there. God's got to take over. God has got to take over. The last enemy destroyed is death. That's way down the line. So he's taking over all the way down the line. For he hath put all things under his feet. You don't understand that? Let me tell you. When that spirit, which is God, that's in our midst now, becomes incarnate, he'll be ruling in the millennium. It'll be still God in the Son of human form, putting everything under. And when everything is under, they separate. Goes back to pillar fire on Mount Zion. Get your chronology right. For he hath put all things under his feet. When he says all things are put under him, it is manifested that he who is doing it is left out, making an exception. Because God cannot put himself under the feet of Jesus. But he's seeing everything is going to be put there. And when all these things should be subdued unto him, I said, worry about that word. That word subdue is the same word of the klusma, the shout. How is he putting his church in order under headship? For headship is here. He's here to do it. He's done it by a prophet with the word. Absolutely omega. Then what are you looking for? So I'm looking down the road. What are you looking for? Oh, I'm looking for this great thing. Well, fully on you. Let me tell you right now, you are spiritually sick. You pulled the boner we spoke of last Sunday. You're not looking at present truth reality. You're looking down the road. You're looking back. They messed up on Hebrews 13 and 8. The simplistic things of God you've forgotten. You've become too complex. Those that are going on are getting more and more simple. Harold and I just talked about this morning. I'm to the conclusion now, the simple things I missed for 20 solid years are the great ones. See? 20 solid years is a long time. I've been preaching a long time. See? All right, 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 9. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part should be done away. 6 church ages are shot. The 7th church age is shot. When conclusion comes, it's over, it's shot. See? Perfect is come. When I was a child, spoke of the child, understood the child, thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. No more church games. You're faced with reality. The God of the Amen. The faithful and true witness. The beginning of the creation of God. The whole thing is here now. And everything's in him. But it isn't where it come from. My, don't you see God and his administration? Everything is here. Oh, say, Brother Dale, I'm looking for the healing. So am I. But I'm on condition that sweet spirit's amongst us. That's why we talk family and these other things here. Don't try to go overboard in those things. Just keep it where it belongs, right with the word. Brother Claus did a good job the other day on that. So you understand a lot about that. Now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. How are you going to get face to face? The prophet said so. He said, I'm face to face with God. He's right on a tape. Talking face to face with God. All my thoughts are of God, he told me. Back in 1964. That doesn't mean I have soup and chicken for dinner. That means this. The perfect theologian. That I'm going to know as I'm known. See? All right. What is that? That's Hebrews the 6th chapter. Let's go look at Hebrews 6. See, number of man. Even the chapters divide right. Man did it, but God made him do it. Leaving the principles of doctrine of Christ. Go on to perfection. Now he said, look at, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God. They know that. Doctrine of baptism, laying on hands, resurrection of dead, and eternal judgment. They know that. What's perfection? Catching up what wasn't put in there and correcting that which wasn't there in the first, and what was there and wrong. It's what he said, that which is perfect is come. He said, what is perfect? God. And what is God? He's the Word. And by his grace we believe we have the perfect revelation for this hour. The perfect interpreting. Just think, he said, the same pillar of fire that brought the word is here revealing it, interpreting to us. What does a man want? Has it come or hasn't come? You say, well, I tell you what, I believe it's going to come. then you better take this until it is come. Because that's a further light. It's a greater glory. It's a greater manifestation. But I believe that's it. Where does God have two forerunners? Why, if this is a fulfillment of Malachi 4 and 6, this is it. Because the first part was already done in John. This will do if God permit. God did not permit. He couldn't. Huh. How could he? In that age, the fullness of God was already there. And now, like the moon, which really represents the sun, the bride, God began eclipsing and waning down. And the fifth day she began coming up. Until all was poured into the church. Then when it's all poured in, what's left? The pourer himself. You have been poured by the pourer. And your pouring is not the pourer. How many brethren will understand that? Not that they're going to understand because I yell. That's just my nature. I'm not Foghorn Murphy, but I'm a Foghorn Veil. All right, listen. The Ephesian age, not the Ephesian church. As Alpha erred and fell away from the truth of the resurrection. Now, that the church fell away. Now, remember, the Ephesian age, not the Ephesian church. See? And the Ephesian church stood alone as a true bride church in order. Brother Branham said she was in divine order. So to her were revealed the mysteries. The great mystery of Ephesians 1. Of verses 15 to 21 in contradistinction to 13 and 14. 13 and 14 is the pouring. And 15 to 23 is the pour. The great sovereign God who poured you in order to see you in is now here to take card away, to take away, because he's obligated to the Alpha being Omega. He started, he's got to finish it, to take you in a rapture. All right, in that first church age, here's what was said. All right, thou wast born and hast patience for my name's sake and labor, not fainted. Nevertheless, I've got something against you, that thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence you're fallen, and repent, change your mind. Do your first works again. What was the first works? Entirely unorganized and out of everything. You dropped all of your works. Every single thing you had any hope in and said, this is it. Now they turned right around and began messing the whole thing up. Now they do the same thing with the Branham message. I hope I'm not a part of that mess up. I don't believe I am, but I don't know everything. Remember therefore whence thou fallen, repent and do your first works. Else I'll come quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place except thou repent. They didn't do it, so they got messed up. Now they were dead against organization, and I've seen people come out of organization and understand water and baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and never take this message. Because you know what? They got some pet things of their own. I don't have any pet things of my own by the grace of God, and if I do, I want to get rid of them. Because they're not going to be stimulating to my immune system. They're going to hurt my immune system. See, the closer you get to this word and the life of the word in you, the better you're going to walk with Jesus Christ and be that manifestation. Because you're getting a new life in you. And of course, to be a bond slave of that one is the real thing. Now listen, in that first church age, not the Ephesian church, but the Ephesian age, watch what happened. Now this is a warning part of my message. Now, if you think maybe the other is warning, this is where the warning comes in. And I don't know exactly what I'm talking about because I am not a prophet. But I'm going to draw a conclusion here, which, based upon the Alpha and Omega precept, is in here already. It's already happened, so I'm not fooling you. Now remember, chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which you're also saved, if you keep in memory, keep in your mind, what I preached you, unless you believed in vain. Now remember, the mind and faith have everything to do with each other. If your mind is wrong, your faith is faint. It's wrong faith. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Not according to the Roman Catholics and the Protestants, but according to the Scripture. Do you realize what I'm telling you? They understood and knew there was a sacrifice, but they're all gommed up on it because they didn't know the Scripture. Now come on. How much is the sacrifice that Christ going to do? In a supine position. That's a relaxed lying down position. I'm telling you, that cross stood straight up. And the cross does not stand up straight in anybody's life. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and this is with the Word of God. They lost it right there. You tell that to the churches, they'll crucify. You watch them get angry and try to destroy it. Our necks are on the chopping block. I can't agree with Brian. I love him very much, but I can't agree what he said here, that he thought the squeeze was now and pretty well over. I don't buy that for one second. Now, you've got a right to preach anything you want, but this is my pulpit, and I got a right to say anything I want, and I'm saying it here today. I have nothing from Brother Branham, nothing from God, nothing from Scripture that tells me that this is all there is to it. All I'm going to say is this, give me 2,000 years of the squeeze in good health. It's pretty rough to be disowned by people and stabbed this way and that way, but I'm going to tell you what, it ain't really half bad, it's just your attitude. Take what they do is what you think of what they do. You don't want to know the truth. They did it to Jesus without a cause, and I sure am worthy of it. Not of him, I'm worthy of getting stabbed, both fifth ribs, and my feet cut off at the same time. So, I mean, you know, I can't kick at that one. Now, he said that he was buried and rose again the third day according to Scripture. Now, you see, notice, forgiveness of sins that he received, died for our sins according to Scripture. He was buried and rose again the third day according to Scripture. He was seen as Cephas, and then the 12, and seen above 500 brethren at once, and the greater part remained at this present time of summer fall asleep. After that, he's seen of James, and of all the apostles. And last of all, seen by me also, as one born out of time, due time. He never saw the same one in the flesh that these people saw. He saw him in a pillar of fire. See? And I am the least of all apostles, and I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Therefore, whether it be they or we preach, so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you, there is no resurrection of the dead? And if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is vain. We are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised up, if so be the dead rise not. And if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins, they also fall asleep, which perish in Christ, and this life only, we have hope in Christ, of all men are most miserable. Now notice, the first major mistake they made, they took Christ out of context in his Calvary offering for sin, out of Scripture. They took out it says burial and resurrection. They got it messed up. The third thing, they denied a resurrection. And the fourth thing, we didn't read it, but it's in the Scripture, some said the resurrection is over. Now, one of the first things that hit this people in this message was this, that Brother Branham had said the secret word and he's going to bring yourself back. The next thing is, they say he's going to bring us all back somehow. The next thing they said, the resurrection's over. The people in this message have followed in the footsteps of the first age, and they have fallen 100% from this word of God. The prophet categorically said, the same one that raised Lazarus, and he said, God did it. It was a man that wept, but it was God that raised Lazarus. It's the same one that's going to raise us. So you can see that the Omega has already happened. The error has come in. And what it is, what surprises me, is not that it is the deception of a brilliant mind and somebody coming in with that which is really quite immaculate and beautiful. It is hogwash like this. Unmitigated tripe, in plain English. I just don't understand that. But then again, I do. Because he's had the brilliant minds in this message too. Now, where have the brilliant minds gone? They've aggrandized themselves. And with a lot of polished double talk, have led people astray and right back into Pentecost. And now their folly is made manifest. And I ask this one question. Can they repent? I doubt very much if repentance is there, because they fall into one ditch, they fall into another ditch, they fall into another ditch. And they keep on falling. Because that's the way it's going to end, you see. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Now, I'm not going to take further on the Alpha and Omega. We may another time. But thus we learn to check out all the Alphas or the beginnings, as Brother Branham said. And we can know exactly where we are if we see the Alpha appearing again according to the Scripture and identified by it. And we saw it. And at that time when you see it, then you must depend upon what God sends in order to put it into position. Because always a man has to declare it. I brought that out in Acts the 13th chapter, and I want to read it to you that you might understand. And it says right in here, and by him, the 39th verse, by him all that believe are justified from all things, for which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Spoken of in the prophets. The prophets are now identified, and this is going to happen by a prophet. Behold, you despisers and wonder, perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to send a prophet like I've always done it, and you won't believe it because it is a prophet. You're too big, you're too high, you're too mighty. And you spit in my face, because I'm the one standing outside the door asking you to move.
Amen.
People could not accept Brother Branham's thesis, his understanding, which is true, that God uses the prophet. They lost track of the fact that Jesus was merely the Lamb of God for just a little tiny season at that one time on earth. He was the Son of Man. He was the prophet. He became the Lamb of God on Calvary. And then when he rose, he was still the Lamb of God and will always be. But he's still that Son of God. He's that Son of Man. He's that body. Call it the body, because that's the word. They cannot identify. They cannot place by Scripture. Brother came through here last year. Fine brother. Got no problem with him. I said, no doubt you've heard many things about me. Since you've been over there in Europe. Many things I'm supposed to be false. He didn't answer my question. I said, but if that's all right, I said, I know that, but I said, I'm going to ask you one question. I said, I'm going to just say one thing, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what do you think of? And I said, no, I'll tell you. You think of the man that's supposed to be up there sitting on the mercy seat at the right hand of God. He didn't answer. I said, you don't have to, because I know that's what you are. I said, entirely wrong. It's a pillar of fire. I lost him right there, as far as I know. See, Brother Brand said you had to say the right thing these days. According to the third pull. That third pull has got to go into the resurrection, Brother. I don't care what anybody says. Because that third pull is not William Branham, that's Almighty God.
Amen.
You know, he can work through a man all he wants, he can work through you and me. But that doesn't obviate God. The trouble with man is he wants too much preeminence. He wants to act as though he did it. The Apostle Paul said, if somebody gave it to you, why do you act as though you owned it? Why do you act as though you got it on your own? You see, so here we are at this last time. We've got to see the end. It is the end by what we saw previously. And we had a prophet pointed out, because it says right here, they're going to despise. They're going to perish in wonderment. They're not going to know the answer, though the answer is there. And the man gives the answer. Now the man that performs it, or seemingly performs it, or is in link with he which is doing it through him, ought to have some answers that the onlookers don't have. And if I want to get an answer, I go to the man that God's using, or whatever he's using him, to get the answer from that source.
Amen.
Now, how smart do you have to be to understand that? You've got to be pretty stupid not to understand. I mean, spiritually speaking, you have got to be dead. And at both ends, that's right, the feet and the head are both dead, and the middle's also dead too. Twice plucked up dead. But where will they go? To some pope, to some priest, to some teacher, some seminary, some this or some that. Brother, sister, do not be deceived. Light has come, and men love darkness rather than light. And remember what life is. Light is the life of God in manifestation, and men turn it down. But let us as children of light walk in his light, and then the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse from all unrighteousness, and we will go home hand in hand together with the other ages, which are seven now behind us, because the age of Laodicea is over for us. We're in the age of the bride, and the march is on to glory. Time and eternity have blended. The ushering in is taking place, and the great God and Savior, in the form of the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus Christ, is now here to claim his possession, set the whole church in order, and get a bride out of here. Our exodus, brother, sister, has already begun when we came out of the wrong of the church as Israel came out of Egypt. We may be wandering for a while, but that is only to shuck off the foolish virgin. Don't worry. There is a bride that is going in by the grace of God. And as the prophet said, if we're not bride, she's out there somewhere. And by his grace, we won't stand in her way. Let's rise at this time. Heavenly Father, we're grateful again to have had the privilege of being here. In your presence, O God, to be with your people whom we love, and we know they love us. And we have a mutual love because of this word, Lord. That means a love of the prophet, a love of God, filtering right on down, Lord, which means that in the great cosmos of God, that we have a place, Lord, and it has a place in us, and we are one together. And as the prophet said, When we say, I and my Father are one, that's the time that the shuck splits away, because they simply don't understand that oneness. They understand another kind of oneness. But, Lord, we understand this oneness, which means the prophet told us it is uniting time, the mystical union, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of these things in divine order, espoused to him, Mrs. Jesus, little bride. I don't call you saints. You didn't do it in the first place. All these things, Lord, have devolved upon us, and we accept them today. We accept them, Lord, with joy and rejoicing. And, Lord, just to be honest with you, because you read our hearts and our minds anyway, we want to come to the place where absolutely we receive it the way you want us to receive it, which would be 100%. For, Lord, we know that faith can't have any place with unbelief in this hour. And there's no such thing anymore in a real bride as feigned faith. It can't be hypocritical any more than be hypocritical love. It's got to be the real, genuine faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and brotherly kindness and all these things right up, because we know the genuine love, which is you yourself. You are here, of which you had already put a little modicum in our heart by the blessed Holy Spirit, which is that liquid love himself, that little modicum, Lord. And we know that if that little bit can do it, then how much more, Lord, can you do it now that you are here in the form of the Holy Spirit, this wonderful gift again given to the church, the Son of God, in the form of the Holy Spirit, sealed us plumb in, headship return, Lord, the church in divine order, and getting right back to Ephesus, and now past the Ephesian church, right to her climax, because now, Lord, that which was spoken of your spirit of wisdom and understanding coming, which they could not have, we have by the grace of God, by the prophet pointing it out, Lord, not ourselves. Then, Father, we stand in this position. And having stood there, Lord, and knowing we stand, Father, what it ought to do within us and for us, and as a matter also for you as a witness and a testimony of the grace of God. Help us, Lord, to keep that always in mind, that you might get the valued preeminence that is here on earth, and to be sober, sincere as never before in the kingdom of God. Bless each and every one. And again, we pray, Lord, for that family tie, which is one life makes a family. Yes, sir, because father and mother's one, and the children all one with father and mother. And no, here we are, Lord, through the eternal spirit of the living God, one with each other, one with you, the blood cleansing. Help us, Lord, now to enter into that as never before. Break down all of our thinking, Lord, that's against it. Break down all of our emotions. Circumcise our heart, Lord. We don't want to be like that one preacher who truly said, my heart is like an onion. He said, I rip off one layer of unbelief and another layer appears. Lord God, we tonight, Lord, this morning, want our hearts circumcised and all the layers just knocked right off now. Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And right down the line, Lord, help us, Lord, to impute to each other the genuine motives and love of Jesus Christ, and not look for misunderstandings, and not look for little things that we might interpret in a wrong way. Lord, we pray that all these suspicions and all these things, Lord, that gender not only indifferences, but differences. Sure, Lord, we know that. It's right even here. Father, we don't want that amongst those that believe we're bride. What other churches have, Lord, we're not responsible for, except if we could warn them and show some light, that'd be fine. But, Lord, this is this church here we're talking about, because this is where we are, and we're not even in another town. We're right here. So, Lord, we're talking about us who gather here in a kindred fellowship of the Holy Ghost, no matter what distance we're from. Lord, we've got to realize, the world might have said it, but we know it's true, that charity begins at home. Even the prophet said it. So, Lord God in heaven, if anything would come out of this church for anybody else, then it's got to be here to come out of this church for somebody else. So, Father, we're praying for your blessing upon us, which is that restoration which we're already entered into. May it come to the full peak, O God, so that there's no more hypocrisy, there's no more tension, but, Lord, there's a perfect trust. And, Father, even to the place where if the coat is taken, give them the top coat. And go a mile, go an extra mile. Whatever it is, Lord. And we know, Father God, that at the right time, you'll put a halt to it. You just help us to commit ourselves to your care, knowing that if we do whatever you say, then that's where it's going to end. Right there in the plan of God. So bless each one, Lord. Families represented, relatives represented, right down the line, Lord, until we all, seven church ages, in a united bride, crown the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a privilege we have, Lord, in this age, to know we've already seen you by the Holy Spirit, the one in spirit that will crown in body. Oh God, and this age doesn't know it. Lord, forgive us that we don't know this, Yaku, and help us to know it, and we'll give you the praise and all the glory in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's take the name of Jesus with you.